going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Kevin Fishbane.
I got Fishy Business, K. Fishbane.
Fishy Business?
Fishy Business, what I call him whenever I have him on the show, Fishy Business.
Bears beat writer for The Athletic.
I also always use the Arrested Development line, there's always money in the banana stand.
How much clearer can I say, there's always money in the banana stand!
Kevin Fishbane talking Bears.
Hey Kevin, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic.
I love your name.
It's a great name.
Yeah, great name.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That's right, the man known as Fishy Business, but not really. We just call him that because we're jerks. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Kevin Fishbane, that is his actual name.
I call him Fishy Business because I think it's a term of endearment.
Is it? I mean, let's ask the
Ann
man
Aaron
himself.
Was on something. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ann Heron can get away with it. He's fun and entertaining and likable. Kevin Fishbane is the senior writer at The Athletic covering the Bears. He joins us now on the Midday Show on The Score. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, guys. I do wonder what Floose's nickname would have been for me.
Fishy, no doubt.
Yeah, just straight fishy. The lack of originality in and of itself. Yeah, I know that because I've seen the lack of originality with his actual team. Because I witnessed that for two plus seasons.
Sorry to bring Floose back into the conversation.
How dare you? I think the better question, though, is my first impression of the Bears drafting Colson Loveland actually kind of comes back to it. Because at first I'm hearing Ben Johnson say, we're going to strip it down to the studs. You know, it's complete blank slate. Well, this very particular tight end pick would indicate that that is not the case. Like, this is a guy already drawing comps to Sam Laporta, and not because of that reason. He was previously. And you know exactly what he does on the field. So when you found out that they were drafting him, what was your impression?
You know, I honestly wasn't surprised, Layla. Excuse my voice. I just lost it 2 minutes before we went on the air.
Do you need us to vamp, you know, like fill the time while you clear your throat? That's possible. We can do that.
Give me a minute to vamp.
Okay. So I can number one, say I'm sorry about us messing with you and calling you Fishy Business all the time.
I would also second that apology and say it's probably my fault more so, because I really enjoy when Ann Heron says in your open that we have cultivated for you Fishy. I call him Fishy Business.
But the way he says it is so pleasant, and then I'm like, Fishy Business, blah.
That's not what you sounded like, first of all, because that sounded very sea urchin, Little Mermaid style.
Ursula?
Yes, Ursula. So
Ursula was misunderstood.
Is that are you one of those? Do you find yourself siding with the villain more often than not?
I am pro Disney villains, yes. You're like, except for Scar. Scar's gotta go.
I think the thing is, when you talk about a villain, it's like, can I understand where they're coming from at least? That's right. Where you start.
Do you know where they were wronged?
Yes.
That's really the question. Are you feeling any better, Kevin?
I think so, and that was some great vamping. That was you guys took it to another level.
We did not mean to immediately go to a dark or deep place there. A, how do you feel about Fishy Business? B, do you side with any Disney villains? C, what do you think of Colson Loveland? Yeah.
Okay. A, Anthony Herron, call me whatever Anthony Herron wants. He's earned that right.
Perfect.
B, Disney villains.
Is there one that you're the most sympathetic with?
You know what? I'll say this. My kids recently got into the movie Encanto. And what I love about Encanto is that there isn't really a villain.
Okay. All right. I have not seen that particular film, but I will check it out.
Kind of like in life.
Because now I've reached a point in parenting where you have to skip all the villain scenes because the kids don't enjoy them.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like, oh, here's a movie where I don't have to fast forward at all because there isn't really a villain.
Wow. See, you're with us on this. It doesn't always have to be good guy, bad guy, conflict, end movie.
Exactly. But that's not why you called. Well, it might have been. Colston Loveland. So 3 weeks ago, Nate Tice wrote a phenomenal piece at Yahoo breaking down Colston Loveland versus Tyler Warren.
I have it up on my computer right now.
You know, and coming away from that, Leila, I was like, this Loveland guy fits. Like, he kind of matches everything we know about Ben Johnson and what the Bears want to do with that position. Like, this makes a lot of sense. And I went down, I was trying to like, because I actually started to mock him to the Bears last week, and I went through some like galaxy-brained connect the dots in which Dane Brugler, our draft expert, compared Colston Loveland to Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz was with the Eagles in his prime. Who was with the Eagles that same time? Ian Cunningham and Press Taylor, the Bears passing game coordinator. Like, done. We're good. We're all set. Now, granted, they'd have to see the same comp that Dane Brugler did. But anyways, you can see what I'm trying to explain was I was kind of talking myself into this over the past few weeks. So when it happened, I wasn't that surprised. And I think I know we're going to say this a lot, and we'll say it the rest of the weekend as they continue to draft offensive guys. Like, you trust Ben Johnson. Like, if Ben Johnson tells you that Colston Loveland is a better fit than Tyler Warren, and if Ben Johnson tells you Colston Loveland is better value there than a Josh Connerly for what they want to do, if you believe in Ben Johnson, I know it's like an easy way out, but like, you just got to believe in that pick. What I do like about Loveland compared to Warren, he's 2 years younger. I think it's like slightly better measurements when it came to arms and hands. And I watch a lot of Michigan, and I just think that what really struck me throughout the draft process is the people who study this stuff always had Warren and Loveland super close. If you watched college football last year, you were talking about Tyler Warren 100 times more than you were talking about Colston Loveland. And I think that says a lot about Loveland, that even with that horrific Michigan passing game, he was still in that position to be talked about with someone like Tyler Warren, who was like the king of college football, at least in the Big Ten, at times last season. So I just, to me, guys, when the Bears make a draft pick, I always say to myself, does this make sense with what they want to do, and does this fit? It is check mark.
I love it because the way the draft just happened to fall, right, with three offensive tackles off the board, you get a truer sense of, well, one, who do they prefer? You know who they prefer. It's right there in front of you. They could have taken Tyler Warren if they wanted to. They chose this. I also wondered, coming into the draft, and I don't think we have a complete answer on this, in terms of whose draft is it? Is it Ben Johnson's draft? Is it Ryan Poles' draft? And I'm not saying it can't be both of their drafts. I'm just wondering who's got final call. How much is Ryan Poles listening? And we'll find out much more in the second, third round and beyond about that tonight and into the weekend. But do you think this was a draft of convenience for them in that they didn't have to make a trade? It just kind of fell into their lap, and that behooves the Bears in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird spot for them to be in, because you guys went through all the mock drafts over the past weeks, and it's like, yay, the Bears have the 10th pick, which is awesome, but then it falls that way, and you're like, well, wait a second, if they're not going to get Jeanty, if they're not going to get Mason Graham, if they're not going to get Will Campbell, and those are really the only blue-chip guys that you could talk yourself into dropping to 10, then you're, I don't want to say stuck, but you're in a position they were in last night, where it was, you know, like, once they were on the clock, I'm thinking, okay, it's Loveland, it's Warren, or it's Mykel Williams. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the three guys based on all the boards we looked at, based on what the Bears needed. And look, you're not going to come away with any of those three guys at that spot being like, the Bears won the draft. but it just, like, because that's just the way, like, this draft is. And I do think that, you know, look, I said this the other day to somebody, because people always ask me, like, well, who do you want the Bears draft? And for me, it's like, well, somebody who's a good interview, because it's all about me and I want some good quotes. And somebody who, like, this is a ridiculous mindset, but I'm going to give it to you guys. I want somebody who I don't have to, like, spend the next however many months defending. Defending is the wrong word. Because I'm not, it's not my job to defend the Bears. But I do think it's my job to help give perspective and help give context. And there's a lot, like, for example, I had a lot of work to do in 2017 trying to give some context and perspective to that draft pick. And this one, there's a little extra work, but anybody in that spot, like, you were going to have to kind of talk your way through, like, oh, Mykal Williams, you know, I don't know, like, Tyler Warren, it's a tight end, Colson Loveland, it's a tight end, like, everybody at this point had something that you had to kind of talk yourself through. So that's why I come back to the Ben Johnson piece. Like, you put your trust and faith in Ben Johnson, and you put your trust and faith in the fact that this is a player who... Arif Hassan does a great job putting together kind of a consensus big board. It takes 76 draft boards. And I think Loveland was maybe 14th or 12th on there. So again, like, you're taking a guy who everybody thinks is a top 15 player. So, like, you know, position be damned. Like, just take the good player.
Yeah. Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially on the defending part. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today as we talk to Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic, Bears beat reporter. And Kevin, I also think a big piece of this is just look at the same position and how many different ways we have talked about Cole Kmet over the past 2 or 3 years. There's the year where he was the team's leading receiver before he signed the contract extension. Then there was the he's not being utilized enough year. Before that, there was the he needs to hold on to the football more. And, you know, that's a second round pick that we're talking about in Kmet. You know, and we know that we know Chase Claypool, his former Notre Dame teammate, was also drafted in the second round. That's something we ended up having to discuss as well. But the bigger question to me is not only why do you like this player? It's can you actually do the thing you want to do on the field regarding that player's talent and function? I have much more faith in the case here because you're already seeing the visualization with the action.
Yeah, and Leila, I had a coach from another team text me today and said, Ben Johnson knows tight ends, right? Like, he coached that position in Miami. And so even before he was a play caller doing the things he was doing with LaPorta, like, that's a position that he became an expert in. So, like, when you're thinking about how is Ben Johnson going to put Colson Loveland in position to succeed, right? Like, that's the guy. That's the coach who you expect to do that. And, you know, it's funny you bring up the Cole Kmet thing, because even when Kmet was drafted that first year, we were sitting there being like, well, where is Cole Kmet? Like, why are, like, they, like, the staff that drafted him couldn't figure out how to utilize him until later in that rookie season. So, you know, I think that, like, I'm very fascinated to see what this looks like. We could talk 12 personnel, and we will talk about it for months. Like, the reality is that if, like, one of these two guys is not going to be putting up necessarily numbers that lines up with the contract, and that could be okay if they're still putting up really big numbers. I always, like, look, the Patriots in the early aughts, or teens, whatever you call that, when they had Gronkowski and Hernandez, like, that's the pinnacle of on-field, obviously, production in terms of having two tight ends both be really, 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 really good. And you can't use that as a comparison because that is the unicorn. But I'm interested. I'm very interested to see what this looks like and how, because when Ben Johnson got hired, one of my first thoughts was, oh, here's a coach who's going to know how to use Cole Kmet. And he's obviously also going to know how to use Colson Loveland. So now we see how they use the two of them together.
So is Cole Kmet, is his production in jeopardy here from your vantage point? You just brought up the obviously the ultimate, you know, people winning fantasy championships with Aaron Hernandez and Gronk on their fantasy teams back in those days. So
the LMFAO era.
Yeah. So like, Cole Kmet, should he feel threatened by the presence of one, 10th overall pick in Colston Loveland?
Yeah, Marshall, it's a good question. Look, the Cole Kmet press conference, when he goes back, it's going to be the one we're all looking forward to. And you guys all know Cole's going to handle it very professionally. Look, he got paid. He's still getting paid a lot of money. So that's like one side of it, that he's in a really good spot in his career. And I think he could look at this as that it could benefit him too. I mean, look, they could look at those Patriots teams and say, we can do that if they want to. Like, I don't want to call it impossible, but it is the top of this happening. So yeah, look, I just think when you have DJ Moore, you have Roma Dunze, you still have a quarterback in his second year. Like, it's going to be hard for all those guys to put up the production they're capable of. But you go back to Ben Johnson. If there's a coach that's going to figure out a way for Cole Kmet to have 700 yards and Colson Loveland to have 900 yards, I think you feel really good about that. I mean, guys, I remember being on the show early in the winter, and I don't have the number off the top of my head, but like, Bears' number two tight ends receiving yards combined over the last like 4 years is insanely low.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's crazy.
It's really bad.
Right? So like, already you have completely elevated this position. So really, like, again, if Cole's doing 500, 600, 700 yards, like, and Colson Loveland is doing what you'd want a first round pick to do, I think you feel really good about that. So I'm not ready to immediately say Cole is like on the outs, and you look at his contract and this isn't going to work out for him. I want to see how it's all going to come together.
Now, he had 719 receiving yards in 2023. That led the Bears in receiving that year. That is terrible.
Which says a lot about where the Bears were with passing offense.
Exactly. And you're the guy, Kevin, who keeps stats on snaps and, you know, who's playing how many snaps. They didn't run enough plays last year. Like, let's just start with that part. You figure you're at least running, 10-15% more plays in a Ben Johnson offense.
Yeah, and the thing which was really interesting about Cole Kmet last year was his catch percentage and his yards per target were career highs. So if you do the math there, if you had given him the ball more often, like, you would have seen really even better production, because the advanced stats, he was playing at his best level in his career. He just wasn't getting the ball thrown to him. So now you have a guy who's going to figure it out, presumably, to get these guys at football. You know, it's so funny, because I think it was, like, we've done this whole 12 personnel conversation before in Chicago. We did it when it was Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet. We did it when it was, people are going to shudder. Here we go. When it was Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen, we had that conversation.
God. Second round pick about, for that guy.
Yeah. About having two tight ends. So, I don't want to like totally go down that path, because I do think this is different. It's a different coach. It's different players. It's different skill sets. But it's also a reminder how long it's taken the Bears to figure out how to work. The only time it really worked for the Bears was when it was Martellus Bennett and Zach Miller. And that's, I believe, the last time they had two guys at that position with at least 400 yards in the same season.
Kevin.
So, again, very, very capable, very easily attainable thing for these two guys to get.
We're up against it, but I still need to know, two picks early, 39 and 41. What do you want to see the Bears do there?
To go back to my earlier point, Marshall, about me having to answer to Bears fans as if it's my fault, get me every lineman you can so that Bears fans can be happy. I think offensive lineman or defensive lineman and then running back are probably the positions I'm keen in on. Very interested to see where Caleb Johnson, Travion Henderson go tonight, because you can imagine what both those guys would look like in this Bears offense. But I got to imagine you got to get an offensive tackle at some point tonight.
I agree. Kevin Fishbane, thank you so much for joining us. Kevin Fishbane, the Bears beat writer for The Athletic. He joined us on Twitch as well. Kevin, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
I think that was the chime to ending.
That was him logging off.
It was.